Interesting thing happened this morning to me. I was standing over here talking to our dear sister, and a spiritual reality came to me, and out of my mouth, I heard it come, and before I even realized I had said it, I told her, I said, I see forces gathering for a great battle here today. And last night, I was trying to prepare spiritually I'd already done the work. I'd already prepared the 14 pages. Yeah, 14 pages, but real big print. so relax. But I was trying to prepare spiritually, and the Lord brought a word to my mind from the Bible. And I'll just share it with you here. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. And then this morning, walking in here and seeing that, and then what all the words that were brought this morning about the battles, and what was said last week about the battles and distractions. And trust me, folks, it's been rough this week. But I know when the enemy is attacking me in this way, he's trying to dissuade me from the path that is ahead of me, the task that the Lord's laid before me, because he sees the damage that can be done today. Today I'm not going to be focusing on what God has done in my life, but instead I'd like to focus on what he can and will do for you in your lives. Over the years, in my walk with the Lord, he has taught me many things. And today I'm going to talk about something that's going to make some of us a little uncomfortable. And right now, some of you are thinking, where are you going with this, bud? Today, brothers and sisters, the Lord has placed something on my heart that I want to share with you based upon my limited understanding and experience with the topic, what I have learned through the years, and what God's Word says about forgiveness. I'd like to start with this. It's been said that unwillingness to forgive others is Satan's single greatest access to the church. The church being you and I, the saints who make up the body of Christ, which is the church. Now, some of you might disagree, and that's okay, but hear me out. See, already one page done. Let's look at why. Why should we forgive those who hurt us in the past? Well, the simple answer is God requires it. But there's more to it than just being obedient. Let's start by looking at the model prayer as instructed by Jesus in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15. I think they've got that up here. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That was the prayer. But then Jesus went on in verses 14 and 15 and explained what this meant. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. You see, we're asking our heavenly Father to forgive us as we've forgiven others. And it clearly says, if we do not forgive others, he will not forgive us. This tells me that our relationship with our fellow man, correction, our heavenly Father, is tied directly to our relationship with our fellow man. Now, does this mean that we lose our salvation if we don't forgive others? No, but I think it does teach us that our relationship with God will suffer and be hindered if we refuse to forgive those who have hurt us or offended us. You see, when you refuse to forgive others, what are you doing? You're placing yourself in the judgment seat where God's supposed to sit. Here's another example. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Now, some other translations will say 70 times 7. This one says 77 times. The point is, we just keep on forgiving. Therefore, the king, and then he illustrated this with a parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who settled accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Now, folks, 10,000 bags of gold. In that day and age, can you imagine the amount of wealth that was? Because even in today's day and age, it's staggering the amount of wealth that they were talking about. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all they had to be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell to his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. This is basically a week's wages from what I've read in that day and age. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell at his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called that servant back in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had upon you? In his anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Christ then put this into context and demonstrated that our relationship with our Heavenly Father is connected to our relationship with our fellow man. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now, does this mean we lose our salvation again? No. But when we truly grasp the greatness of God's gifts of forgiveness and grace, we should want to pass those gifts along. We've been given grace, and we should give others grace. As Christ said, freely you have received, freely give. So what is forgiveness? Let me say this. Forgiveness is not forgetting. When God says he will remember our sins no more, he's not saying, I will forget them. God's omniscient. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Omniscient. In other words, he knows everything. He cannot forget. Rather, this means he will never use our past against us. He said he would move it as far as the east is from the west. Can I just say this also? Forgiveness does not mean that we tolerate sin. And it doesn't mean you're a doormat for other people. What this does mean, and you really need to get this bit, when you forgive someone, you agree to live with the consequences of that person's sin against you. Let me read that again. What this means is when we forgive someone, we agree to live with the consequences of that other person's sin against us. But dear brothers and sisters, whether you forgive them or not, you're going to have to live with those consequences anyway. But you have a choice. You can choose to do that in the bondage of unforgiveness and everything that goes with it, or walking in the freedom of forgiveness. Forgiveness does not seek revenge or demand repayment for what you suffered. Some of you may be saying to yourself, why should I let them off the hook? That's it, isn't it? They're on your hook. And can't you see you're dragging them around with you? Why should you forgive them? To stop the pain. To stop the suffering. You forgive them and let them off your hook for your sake. For your freedom. Knowing that God has not let them off his hook. You may feel you want justice. But you're not an impartial judge. None of us are. Again, when we refuse to forgive others, what are we doing? We're placing ourselves in the judgment seat instead of God. Romans 12:19. There it is. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. So where's the justice, you ask? Look at the cross. Jesus died once for all. He died for your sins, for my sins, for everybody's sins. And look, we are living right now with the consequences. All of us are living with the consequences of somebody else's sin. In fact, we're all living with the consequences of Adam's sin right now. Some of you may be saying, I can't forgive these people. Bud, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how they've hurt me. You're right, I don't. But God does. He knows. But I want you to stop and think for a minute. Aren't they still hurting you? So why not stop the pain? Forgiveness is what sets us free. We don't heal in order to forgive. We stop, We forgive in order to heal. Don't get them confused, folks. Don't get them out of order. Forgiveness is setting the captives free and then realizing you were the one that was captive. I'm sure some of you have heard that before. You don't forgive others for your sake. You do it for your own. All this being said, I'd like to address a few issues that can be a little confusing. First, there is this misconception, especially in America, that in order to forgive somebody, they must first come to you and apologize for what they've done. But until then, we just stay back, ignore them, be angry, walk around in misery. No, no. Instead, in order to forgive somebody, that person doesn't even have to know that you're forgiving them. Did you know that? They don't even have to know. Forgiveness is between you and God. Because someone else has hurt you. Also, when you forgive somebody, don't go running to that person and say, "Hey, 2 years ago, you said this and did this to me, but now I forgive you." Folks, most of these people won't remember. And most of them don't even know what happened. They have no clue. They won't remember it, and they'll just look at you kind of like, okay. And the other thing is, some of them, like family members, some family members may have already left this earth. And how are you going to forgive them? Go to God. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for them. We forgive in order to rid ourselves of the anger and the weight that we hold on to. We forgive because that person didn't know any better. Another area that we tend to get confused is forgiveness and reconciliation. These are two separate issues. Don't confuse them. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean that you will or even should be reconciled to that person. Now, some of you may remember in Matthew 5:23 and 24, it says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." That's if you have hurt someone else and they have something against you. The difference is you are asking for forgiveness from them instead of giving it to them. Now there's a problem here with that. Some may not want to be reconciled to you. So let's say that you remember that you've offended somebody, and this has personally happened to me, and my wife is nodding right now. You've offended somebody, and you go to that person, you ask for their forgiveness, and they say no. They want nothing to do with you, they'll never forgive you, etc., etc. What do you do? Go on with your life. You've done what was required. Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. That's as far as it depends on you. You've done the right thing. You've went to the person. You've confessed your sin against them and say, I'm sorry. You've apologized. You've done everything you can. And they still say no. Go on with your life. You've done everything that was necessary biblically. Can I say this also? Your freedom cannot be dependent upon someone else. Now, and there are some instances that you may not want to be reconciled to the other person. What if you were raped or abused by someone? Do you want to be reconciled to that person? No, there's no reason to put yourself through that again or expose yourself to that again. But do you need to forgive them? Absolutely. Yes, you do, and you need to do it by going to God. Now, there's one there's one last piece of this. Excuse me. There's one last piece of this forgiveness puzzle that is often overlooked. Even after you've forgiven everyone else, there's someone that most of us overlook. Any guesses who I'm talking about? Yeah, Mom. The person in the mirror. And folks, that can be the toughest, I speak from experience here, the toughest thing you'll ever face is forgiving yourself. Because here's the thing. When you look in the mirror, there's no, you know what you were thinking at the time. You know every aspect of it because it was you. And it is, there's no excuses, there's no whataboutisms, there's nothing. But all of us have made mistakes. None of us are perfect. And some of those mistakes were horrible. Mine were. But even if they were, and God knows your heart, and if you've already asked the Lord for forgiveness, it is done. God has already forgiven you, and now it's time for you to let go of those mistakes. Agree with God. And here I'm preaching to myself. Forgive yourself and move on. It's just like a great big bag of bricks. All you need to do is set it down. Just set it down and walk away. Now today, as we've been talking about this subject, my guess is the Holy Spirit has started to move and work on some of your hearts and minds. God may have already placed someone upon your heart that you need to forgive, or maybe it's yourself. Either way, that name or face is a message from your Heavenly Father. I got a video for you that'll kind of help put things into a different context. Sometimes we're so close to a problem, especially our own problems, we're so close to them, we can't see clear. A situation in a video or a movie, it gives us a fresh perspective because we're now removed from it and we can see the problem for what it is. And it gives us a chance to get beyond our own paradigm, our own situation, where we can see it with a fresh set of eyes. This is a clip from the movie The Shack. Has anybody not seen The Shack? You have not seen The Shack? Oh my gosh. Okay, let me set this up for you. It's a short clip. This is the main character, Mackenzie. And what's happened is his young daughter has been murdered by a man. Mackenzie then has an encounter with God, and the Heavenly Father explains to him why forgiveness is necessary in order for him to heal.
Mac, wake up. It's time for us to go.
Papa.
Good morning, son.
You're messing with me, aren't you?
Oh, always. For what we have to do today, you're going to need a father.
Where are we going?
Almost there. We're here to do something that's going to be very painful for you.
Please don't.
Son, we're on a healing trail to bring closure to this part of your journey.
You want me to forgive him?
Mm-hmm.
He killed my daughter. I want to hurt him. I want him to hurt like he hurt me. I want you to hurt him.
I know you do. But he too is my son, and I want to redeem him.
Redeem him. He should burn in hell.
So we're back to you as the judge.
So you just let him get away with it?
Nobody gets away with anything. Everything bears consequences.
What he did
was horrible. I'm not asking you to excuse what he did. I'm asking you to trust me to do what's right and to know what's best.
And then what?
Forgiveness doesn't establish your relationship. It's just about letting go of his throat. Mac, the pain inside is devouring you, robbing you of joy and crippling your capacity to love.
I can't.
You're not stuck because you can't. You're stuck because you won't. You don't have to do this alone. I'm here with you.
I don't know.
Out loud.
I've forgiven.
Lindsay. You're such a joy.
I'm still angry.
Of course you are. No one lets go all at once. You might have to do it a thousand times before it gets any easier. But it will. Let's go.
Thousand times. What did Jesus say to Peter? Seven times? 70 times seven? Let's look again at Matthew 18, 33 and 35. This is the master again speaking to his servant. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. How many nights have you laid in bed awake because of what someone else has done against you? How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to hurt? How long are you going to let what happened steal the joy from your life and cripple your ability to love? Dear brothers and sisters, don't you see you're already in the hands of the jailer being tortured? Our Heavenly Father loves you so much, they sent His only Son to die on a cross for you and for me so that we could be forgiven, so we could live free. And yet we want to hold on to our pain, because we feel like those that have hurt us don't deserve our forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, we didn't deserve forgiveness. But God our Father gave them to us through our Lord Jesus Christ because He loves us. He isn't asking you to excuse what was done to you, but He is asking you to trust Him to do what is right, to know what is best. But we have to be obedient. So this is where we're at. A moment of decision. What are you going to do? You see, it's entirely up to you and your choice is entirely yours. Whether today, tomorrow, tonight, whatever. The when is entirely up to you. You can choose to continue to live in the bondage of unforgiveness, or you can choose to go to our Heavenly Father and forgive those who have hurt you. Forgive yourself. And walk out of here in the freedom of forgiveness as God intended. That's all I got. Thank you for your time. Pastor Joe.
But there is in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, God, that by your grace, you enable us to also forgive those who have done us wrong. And Father, I pray if there are people here who struggle with anger because of what they went through, that Lord God, you might come and you might meet them, and you might touch their hearts, you might bring inner healing, you might bring freedom, you might bring deliverance. Lord, you might open your heart and reveal to them your love, Father God, and the ways in which you have been with them, protecting them over the years. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, that as we release others, Father, we find ourselves coming into greater and greater freedom. And so, Lord, we thank you again that forgiveness is not for the other person, really. It's for us, so that we can move on in our relationship with you. Lord, we thank you. I will pray this in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, indeed, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. That because of his blood, Lord, we can come into your presence. And his blood says, forgiven. His blood says that you've removed from us all of our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Lord, his blood says that you no longer hold our sins against us. But Lord, you treat us as innocent. You treat us as righteous because of the blood of Christ. Lord, help us in return to live a life of forgiveness, to be quick to forgive, and thus reflect the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we leave here, Lord, we ask you to go with us. Continue to speak to us, continue to lead us, continue to draw us unto yourself. Continue to reveal to us the love of Christ. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.